Indeed, this doctrine, one can say, is one of the chief primary contributions of the Baal Shem Tov to Yiddishkeit. This is one of the primary doctrines of Chassidus, that Chassidus introduced and explored and revealed in Yiddishkeit, the meaning of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Usually we interpret Hashem Echad meaning what? What does it mean Hashem is one? The only God. There's one God. There are no two gods. There's no polytheism. Yiddishkeit believes in monotheism. There is one God, one creator. Furthermore, we can go ahead and interpret, as is the interpretation in various Sfarim and Rishonim, not only is Hashem Echad negating another God, but is negating essentially any other true authority. Not only another true creator, but even another real authority who has true mastery to run things, to run the universe and so forth, that is also negated by Hashem Echad. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, describes very dramatically, unique for the Sefer of Halacha, Yad HaChazakah, the evolution of Avodah Zarah, how Avodah Zarah evolved in human history. And he says that it began not by the denial of Hashem's reality. Adam didn't need scientific proof that there's a God. By Adam and Chava, Hevel, Cain, yeah, with all their transgressions, you see they had a very personal relationship with Hashem. We mentioned once, it's one of the unique things about the Tanakh. The Jews in the time of Bayis Rishon were often powerful sinners, but they knew against whom they were sinning. They spit in God's face. They had a real relationship with Him. Today we do many mitzvahs. I don't know what type of intimate relationship we have with Hashem. A Jew once came, I think I shared this with you once, a Jew once came to the Kotzke Rebbe, and he says, look at the Tanakh. These are our heroes. These are our patriarchs. These are our leaders. We're supposed to learn from these people. Everyone was involved in another immoral issue. So the Kotzke Rebbe said, Herzog Chaim, listen to me. From their Averis, a Torah was written. From your mitzvahs, no Torah will ever be written. But that's a fascinating discussion for itself. What are we talking about? Huh? So the Rambam describes the evolution of Avodah Zarah. He says it didn't begin with denial of Hashem's reality. It began with attributing significance to other realities. It began with comparing the mechanism of the universe to a king, the Hashem's reality to a king who grants various positions to various ministers and servants and gives them authority. And they have the right to act on their own and the authority to make serious decisions. Obviously, that power they received from the king. Obviously, at any given moment or day, the king could remove from them that authority. True. But when he grants them that authority, they possess it. So if so, at once a year, it is just right and healthy to present the minister with a present. The minister is nothing. He's nothing, but he's something. It's good to be on his good side. He does have the right to make decisions. So therefore, the Rambam describes on their enaish, they perceived reality and said that we have to begin offerings and expressing gratitude through various methods and mechanisms to different celestial bodies, images which they perceived as having authority in running this universe. Ultimately, the Rambam describes beautifully how that evolved until they became the sole authority and Hashem's reality was totally taken out of the picture. So that's also obviously negated with Hashem Echad, that He is the only true force and authority dictating our universe, contrary to what the human eye may sometimes perceive. Right. That there's no other power, true power in our universe. The only one who has the mastery and the power and controls every element of reality is Hashem. We're not now getting into the discussion of human free choice and the ability of human beings to do evil. That's a separate discussion. Another interpretation of Hashem Echad in other Rishonim is not negating another God or another authority, but negating composition in Hashem's own identity. As the Rambam elaborates in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Hashem is not compound, He is not composite. He is not a oneness that is composite of various parts and elements, say, like the oneness of the human body, or the oneness of a people and so forth. Rather, this is a oneness that is true oneness, that it transcends parts. Hashem is not composite of parts, of elements, of compartments, of faculties, of attributes, of distinctions, in any form or fashion. Hashem Echad, He is a singular, unified being. Hence the Rambam's famous statement, discussed in chapter 2, Hu amada v'hu hayedea v'hu hayadua. Hashem is the knower, the knowledge, and the subject which is known are all one and the same in Hashem's reality. What perturbed the Rambam was distinction, compartmentalization in Hashem's being. These interpretations in Hashem Echad are discussed, explained, crystallized, elaborated upon in great length in Chazal, particularly in the Rishonim, specifically among the Jewish philosophers. The Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus, who was born 300 years ago, 1698, introduced and explored a deeper interpretation of Hashem Echad, not excluding another God, another authority, or compartmentalization in Hashem's identity. Excluding another reality. Hashem Echad is not only, He is the only God existing, He is the only reality existing. It's interesting to note in this context that Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson, points out in one of his discourses that the first source for this idea of Achdus Hashem is already to be found in the Shalah. The Shalah, I mentioned him earlier, is the acronym of Shnei Luchos HaBris, authored by a great sage, Kabbalist, Jewish thinker named Rabbi Yishaya Horowitz. He was born approximately 1560, it's unclear the exact year. He passed away in the year Shin Sadik, which is 1630. He passed away 68 years before the Baal Shem Tov was born. The Shalah lived in Frankfurt. He served as a rabbi in Frankfurt, in Prague, in many other cities. He ultimately moved to Yerushalayim. Over there he wrote his monumental work of Jewish ethics, mysticism, and spirituality called Shnei Luchos HaBris. He passed away in the city of Tveria. In his Mesichta Shavuos, in his commentary, in Mesichta Shavuos, in the commentary on the Aseres HaDibris, he has a section where he interprets the Aseres HaDibris. He explains the pasuk in Parshas Veschanan, Perek Dalet. Atar Esel Adas Ki Hashem Hu HaLikim Ein Oid Mulvadoi. I'm sorry, that's another pasuk. The first one. V'yadaita Yoyim V'ashevoisa L'vavecha Ki Hashem Hu HaLikim B'Shamayim Imav Ala Aretz Mitochas Ein Oid. You should know today and take it to your heart that Hashem is God in the heavens above and in the earth below. Ein Oid. There is nothing else. He explains, what does Ein Oid mean? No other God. He says that we already know from Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If we interpret Ein Oid Elokim Zulasa, we already know that. So what does Ein Oid mean? Not there's no other God. Ein Oid, Ein Shum Davar Nimtza. There is nothing else beside Him. Lo Yashum Metziyus Zulas Metziyusa. He says there's no reality outside of His reality. What does that mean? He says, Ki hu yizbarech mahave eskulom umechaye eskulom vuhu metziyus hanimtzayim. Because He creates them all and He sustains them all, and He is the reality of reality. He is the reality of the realities. The Shalah says this in very brief terms, extremely concise, and doesn't explain it. The Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus, and his student,
the successor, the Rebbe of the second generation of Chassidus, which is the Maggid of Mizrich, Reb Dov Ber, made this a cornerstone in their theology and in their approach to life. And this idea, as most other ideas of the Baal Shem Tov and Maggid, reached its crystallization in the Chabad school of thought founded by the Alter Rebbe Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, and in the teachings of the sages of Chabad that succeeded the Alter Rebbe in their Hasidic essays, discourses, and writings. The Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, expresses himself interestingly in his Sefer Derech Mitzvei Secha, Mitzvahs Achdus Hashem, where he deals with the mitzvah of the unity of Hashem, that this idea of Ein Oid is Amitis Hasidus. This stands at the core, at the essence, at the heart of Chassidus, as he puts it, Loi loimar ani elalaseis me ani ayin. To get rid of the I, to take the ani, I, and to metamorphosize it into ani ayin. To take the aleph nun yud and make from it aleph yud nun. The I to become nothing, and the Tzemach Tzedek adds in Yiddish, in a seldom expression, Esh is nishtakein ich. There is no I. Previous Lubavitcher Rebbe once expressed himself, Amalek echsidim flagin machin von ein vart zwei und von dem ich erhalten. The chsidim of the days of old would from one saying make two sayings, and from the I they would make a half. From the one eye they would cut an out. Today is a generation, as someone, a wise man once said, where people are reading more and more about less and less. As someone once said, that they say that in earlier generations there were much more illiterates. Today there are not so many illiterates. But this thinker said it's wrong, totally wrong. It's just that today much more illiterates know how to read. That's pshat. But Amal, Chassidim, one vart was enough. From one vart they made zwei. And from the ich, given a halba. Perhaps they could make from one vart zwei because the ich was made into a halba. Now, so how do we deal with this? How are we to understand this contribution of the Baal Shem Tov, Eshes Nishtakein Ich? Eshes Yedan Ich, apparently. Aha is Dan Ich. We often have difficulty with Bechal acknowledging that Hashem exists in a real way. Over here, we're taking it a step further. Hashem's existence is a given. Your existence is the question. There was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe was once traveling from city to city collecting money to redeem Jews who were in captivity, Pidyon Shvuyim. And he came to a city which was controlled by Jews who were extremely opposed to the Alter Rebbe and to Chassidus and so forth. I think I shared this with you once. But it was a city that had many wealthy Jews, and this Chassid realized that he can collect a nice sum of money for the sake of his brethren who were suffering such savage pain. But the only way he can talk in shul and address the community and beseech them to give him some money and so forth was if he got permission from the Rav. But the Rav, for his mazel, was a personification of opposition to Chassidus, to the Alter Rebbe. Was Tutman. So he came Erev Shabbos to the Rav. He requested for him to stay over for Shabbos and grant him permission to address the congregation tomorrow and make an appeal for the sake of Pidyon Shvuyim. The Rav said, no problem, but I just have one question from you. What is your opinion on Chassidim? And on the opponents of Chassidim? So he says, I'll tell you. Chassidim, all day, the only thing they think about is themselves. You guys think about all day God. All day you're thinking only about God. He says, Gewaldig, he couldn't put it better. You're my guest for Shabbos. Gave him room and board, allowed him to make an appeal Shabbos. It went through very successful. They enjoyed the Shabbos together, talking Torah, and so forth. And everything was wonderful and beautiful. It worked out for everyone. He made a nice sum of money. Sunday morning after Shachris, after breakfast, as he was bidding farewell to his host, to the distinguished rabbi, and he was leaving the home, he says, thank you so much. I just want to clarify one point. I told you Friday the difference between the Chassidim and the opponents of Chassidim. I want to explain to you what I meant. A person who did not integrate the message, the vision of Chassidus, so that he exists is a given. That I exist is granted. It's a question. So all day he's walking around thinking about God. Does God exist? Does God not exist? If he exists, who says he exists? Even if we know he exists, why does he exist? Who needs him? And even if we know who needs him, what type of role does he play in my life? So all day he's thinking about God. He said, by the chassid it's converse, that Hashem exists is a reality. So all day he's walking around thinking about himself. Do I exist? Don't I exist? If I exist, how do I exist in the all-pervading, all-embracing reality of Hashem? If already I have an explanation how I exist, why do I exist? For what purpose do I exist? All day he's thinking about himself. But it requires powerful clarification. How did the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, Alter Rebbe, deal with this issue of Achdus Hashem? How do we interpret Achdus Hashem? There's no other reality. So one approach that people often embrace is reality is an illusion. The world is an optical illusion. In fact, various Far Eastern disciplines are based on this notion. How do various Far Eastern philosophies deal with the inherent tension and contradiction between matter and energy, between physicality and spirituality, or in the Jewish language, between God and the universe? They say that the universe and physicality is basically an optical illusion, and when we raise our levels of consciousness, we begin being sensitive to what is going on, suddenly the world takes on a new dimension and we see that physicality was nothing but an illusion, a delusion that came from an erred vision and perspective. And indeed, according to them, the ultimate purpose is to divest oneself from the normal lenses through which we perceive the universe, begin perceiving reality from deeper lenses, and hence, on that level, physicality dissipates and there's no contradiction. So Chassidus raises this possibility to explain the doctrine of Achdus Hashem, which the Baal Shem Tov explored and emphasized, that perhaps reality, as we know it, is an illusion. So Hashem Echad, Hu Levadei Hu, as He was before creation, He is after creation. Aye, there's a world, there's no world. Aye, you think there's a world. You're dreaming, you're fantasizing. But this runs contrary to Yiddishkeit, this philosophy, and it runs contrary to Chassidus. And there are various proofs, so to speak, that Chassidus gives to refute this, and I want to share with you one very interesting one. A Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah discusses sorcery, Kishuf. So Rabbi Akiva says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, Shnayim loiktim kishuyim, echad chaya ve'echad potter. There might be a case of two people who are gathering cucumbers through sorcery, through kishuf. One of them that gathers the cucumbers is chayav, is liable to death penalty, because sorcery is liable to death penalty, to stoning. The other one is not liable to a penalty. How is this? Ha'ais ma'isa chayav. Ha'aich is a say nayim potter. The one who actually performs the act through sorcery is liable. The one who merely creates an illusion, literally means he seizes the eye. He creates an illusion where you perceive that he is gathering the cucumbers, but really the cucumbers are not gathered, he is not liable, which means there are two methods of sorcery. One is real sorcery, so to speak. through one's magical unclean powers, he has the ability to reap cucumbers from their source in the earth that they should actually be gathered. Another one doesn't have the power to actually do that through sorcery, but he has the power to deceive his audience that they should think. Via, he fools their illusion. He fools their sensory tools. He deceives their vision, the optical illusion, that they should think that the cucumbers have been gathered. And since there was no real act of sorcery, so although he's forbidden to do that, but he's not liable for death penalty. Says Chassidus, if we are going to explain the whole idea of Achdus Hashem according to the Baal Shem Tov, by saying that the whole world is an optical illusion, so even the Eichus is Eichus Anayim. So even the guy who's gathering the cucumbers through sorcery is indeed being deceiving the eye. What's the difference if Eichus Einayim of an audience of 100 people or Eichus Einayim of Hashem's audience of 5 billion people? If that is reality, essentially, so gathering cucumbers doesn't have a reality. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that doesn't deceive 10 people like the sorcerer does. It deceives 5 billion people. But an illusion is an illusion. The fact that halacha distinguishes between a eisa meisa and a eichas a seinayim means that physicality has validity. Means that there is a world that cucumbers are cucumbers. And removing cucumbers is removing cucumbers. And someone who does that through sorcery did an act that's forbidden. And someone who doesn't do it really through sorcery just makes that I should think he did it, didn't remove the cucumbers, and therefore is potter. You're asking it's a isser. Of course it's an isser. But the question is, huh? The isamais is not the isamais is also eiches a seinayim. Why a distinction between isamais and eiches seinayim? Oh, that's the question. If you want to say that the halachas of kishuv, that's fine. In the world of illusion, Hashem created halacha. But Hashem in Allah is distinguishing between illusion and reality. This is besides the fact, Chassidus brings the pasuk to refute this, Bereishis bara lekim hashamayim v'haaretz. A third issue is all mitzvahs. According to the above mentioned perspective, mitzvahs are not happening. The tefillin doesn't exist, the animal doesn't exist, the fringes don't exist, the sheep doesn't exist. It's all an illusionary process. Huh? You could say that halacha is dealing with that perception of reality. That I don't know if that's a proof. That I don't think is a proof, because you could say that halacha comes after that reality. Halacha is dealing with that illusionary reality. And Hashem wants that in this illusionary reality, you should behave this way and not behave that way. You understand what I'm saying? One second. Before mitzvahs. You're distinguishing between reality and illusion. Hashem created a Shemayim and Eretz. He created a reality of Shemayim and Eretz. The raya for mitzvahs, when I said the raya for mitzvahs, is not that part. That raya, what you're saying, would be from Averis also. The raya for mitzvahs is a deeper element that mitzvahs achieve something. They achieve a concrete objective. Something happens through performance of a mitzvah. Which is a basic tenet of the Torah. And that's all parenthetical. Rebbe Maharash, the son of the Tzemach Tzedek, discusses these proofs in a famous Hasidic discourse of his. So it's very characteristical, the raya from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, to refute this statement. So we're back to square one. How do we explain Achdus Hashem, the unity of Hashem, according to Chassidus? So the truth is that the primary location where the Alter Rebbe addresses this is in the second section of Tanya. The second section of Tanya is called Shar HaYichud VeEmunah, the portal of unity and faith. And its primary goal is Shar HaYichud, to take in the Jew into the portal of unity and to explain the true definition of Achdus Hashem as has been revealed in the teachings of the Shalon Chassidus as well. But in this chapter, in Perek Chaf, and Chafalef, the Alter Rebbe explains a fundamental idea in understanding this concept. And as we shall see in the future, there is actually something that he explains here which is a chiddush, which is new even relative to the explanation that he explains in Shara Yechid V'Emunah. Let's learn a few lines from the beginning of the explanation. Ki Yisavos. Ki Yisavos kala ela misalyeinu v'tachteinu miyayin liyesh. For the coming into being of all the upper and lower worlds out of nothingness, the Alter Rebbe began saying that Hu Levadehu Yachid Miyuchad pre-creation and post-creation. Why? Because Kula Kamekalei Chashiv Kayim Vefes Mamish. It's all as if naught beside him, as if it was absolutely non-existent. So the Alter Rebbe explains why. Because the coming into being of all the upper and lower worlds, Me'ayin Liyesh, from a state of nothingness into a state of somethingness, v'chayusam v'kiyumam, and their life and their existence, hamekayimam, which sustains them, shelo yachzeru liyis ayin v'efes kishahaya, so that they do not revert to nothingness and naught as they were before they were created. Einoi ela dvar Hashem v'ruach piv yizbarich, is nothing other than the word of Hashem and the breath of His mouth, hamalubash behem, that is clothed in these worlds, the creating force of all the worlds. And furthermore, their continuous life force and vitality that allows them to exist, that they should not revert into nothingness, is nothing but Hashem's words, Hashem's utterances, Hashem's breath of life that is closed in these worlds and creates them and continually sustains them. And based on this, the Alter Rebbe, based on this preface and axiomatic idea, the Alter Rebbe will go on to explain what does it mean, Achdus Hashem, as the explanation that he presented earlier, not only that there's no other God, there's no other authority, but rather that there's no other reality. Here, in these few words, the Alter Rebbe prefaces what he discusses in great length in Shara Yichud V'Emunah. In these words, from Ki till Amalubash Ben. And then he goes on and continues with the idea that he wants to present in these chapters, which is additional to the explanation of Shari Yechid V'Emunah. But in order to understand the idea that he explains later in this chapter, we first have to preface the idea of Achdus Hashem that he explains in Shari Yechid V'Emunah, which, although it's mentioned here very briefly and concise. But that emits Hashem, Yeah, it's interesting to know, Taka. You're saying, why would he refer here briefly to what he explains concisely in Shara Yichud? So the Hasidic tradition has it that he wrote Shara Yichud V'Emunah, the second section, before Likut Amarim, the first section, and in essence, he wanted to place that first. Before Likut Amarim. He wanted to make that the first section. For a certain reason, he decided, conversely, that Likut Amarim should be the first section. But still, in a few places, it says in Shar HaYichud, K'moshe Yizbayin, as will be explained in the future, to something that is explained in Likut Amarim, and he did not erase that. I'll just conclude with a final vart. I shared once with you this saying, when we started learning Tanya, but since then I heard an additional knetch, an additional kvetch. So I want to share it with you again. Chana praises Hashem in Shmuel Perig Beis, Shmuel Aleph Perig Beis, Ain't Sur Kelekenu. There is no rak, there is no strong being like Hashem, like our God. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Yudam and Aleph interprets it, Al Tikri Tsur Elatsayer. Don't read it only as there's no rack like our God, there's no artist like our God. Hashem is the greatest artist of all. So the Mefarshim give various interpretations and so forth, what the Gemara means. Chassidim used to say this. What is the essence of an artist? In a sentence, an artist is a master of deception. He takes pigment and canvas, and he imparts life and vibrancy to inanimate matter. He creates a painting that when the perceiver views it, it looks so real. So much a projection of a vibrant real life. In essence, it's inanimate matter. It's dead. It's unconscious. The greater the power of deception, the greater the ability of the artist to impart life to something that's absolutely lifeless, the greater the artist. The greatest deceiver of all, ain't sire kalakeno, is Hashem. He takes nothing, something that's essentially nothing, that even when it's something, it's essentially nothing, it has no true reality, as we shall see, and nevertheless imparts to it such a perception of life and vibrancy. The world looks so real, we perceive ourselves as so real. But it's not just that he does this in a greater way, quantity-wise, than the artist. There's a major difference between the art of an artist and the art of Hashem. Which sense of our five senses does an artist deceive? All of them? Eyes. Does he manage ever to deceive your sense of touching? Never. In the Breslover Shul in Yerushalayim, there is a beautiful painting of a Sfarim Shafa, of a bookcase. So a Jew tells me that he was once sitting in the Breslover Shul, and a Yid was learning Gemara, and he finished learning the Gemara, he closed the Gemara, and he saw a Sfarim, a bookcase on the wall, a beautiful bookcase. So he went, and he hacked that in the Gemara, and sure enough, it was a piece of art. So it deceived them all the way along until the Gemara hit the piece of paper and then it was over. Hashem is even a greater artist. You touch the world and it still looks so real. That's the chush of Hashem's art. Have a wonderful week. It's not fake. We'll learn next week. It's all arichus.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.